We'll sing every year in the Tfilot of Ne'ilah, Pach Lanu Sha'ar Be'et Ne'ilat Sha'ar. We're asking from God to open the gate of the heavens. 37 years ago, something happened in Israel. And every year since then, in Yom Kippur, a lot of Jews like me are coming back to these terrible days of Melchemet Yom Kippur. Here in the Shivat Shalavim, which is a well-known as the Shivat HaEsder, was very quiet. Everybody was in this medrash till this terrible phone came to me in the house. In the first moment, I didn't pick up the phone because it's Yom Kippur who is picking up a phone. But after a while, my wife said, "Zvi, this is the 12 rings that you remember from the army. Pick up, it's from the army. I picked up the phone and somebody was crying in the phone, screaming and crying. One of my officers, a colonel of the Israeli army, cried on the phone, "Zvi Kaspi, what are you doing there? It's a war. That's war. Syria and Egypt." I didn't understand because I was fasting that day, Yom Kippur, so quiet around here. All of a sudden I realized something happened. And after a while, that was around 2:30 in the afternoon, after a while we heard the planes are passing the skies, as you know in Israel, very quiet in Yom Kippur. There's something unbelievable. Planes, war planes in Yom Kippur. I picked up the phone and I spoke to the guy and he told me that the lines of Syria and Egypt was broken. And the Egypt army and the Syrian army are inside in Israel and they're killing the Israeli soldiers. It was terrible to hear that. And the message was, we have already a lot of casualties and dead people. Prepare the guys in the yeshiva to take them out straight to the battlefield. I was shocked for a few minutes. I couldn't talk because I was afraid. I didn't know how to go to Beis Medrash to knock on the table and to say to the guys, from the moment of Yom Kippur, that was the Mincha time, and I remember that was in the middle of the Haftarah of Yonah Navi. When God said to Yonah Navi, "Go to Nineveh, tell them to be choizer b'tshuva, otherwise they will be destroyed." And in my imagination was, we are like Nineveh at the moment. I went into Beis Medrash, I knocked on the door in the middle of the Haftarah, which was very, very strange. Rabbi Shimon Weiser was the Mashgiach at that time. He came over to me, "Zvi Kaspi, what happened?" I took him away aside, he was a very clever man, and I told him the story. He started to cry. Terrible, bitter. It was terrible to hear him. And he said, "Stop everything, tell the guys." And the chazan stops for a moment, was very quiet for a few minutes, nobody understood what's going on. And I gave a speech for about 4 or 5 minutes, and I told the guys, "We have to finish right away davening, we will finish in time. But in the moment you're finishing to davening and fasting, right away put on your uniform and be prepared to leave the yeshiva to go to the battlefield. Don't forget to call your parents first, and I'll give you supplies, blankets and food before you're leaving here." This Ne'ilah of this Shiva Shalavim is one of the moments everybody remembers in our life. Yaakovson, the Rosh Yeshiva, was there. He was a very young man, a very young soldier. Always in Ne'ila time, we are seeing each other always and looking at each other, and we feel something happened to Klal Yisrael at that time. We lost so many young people in war, and we know that the guys that we are sending to the army, who knows who is coming back, who is not coming back. Shema Yisrael of this Ne'ile was one of the Shema Yisrael that I remember all these years that I am living, you should remember that I was a prisoner of war in the 48 war. And I remember this screaming of Shema Yisrael when the Jehovah collapsed in fire, and we went as prisoners of war to Jordan when I was a child. I remember this screaming of Shema Yisrael when was the big beautiful shul in the old city collapsed in fire. The boy screamed for Shema Yisrael and Hashem Elohim. Was terrible to hear. They screamed. Right afterward, the Tkiyas Shofar, they stayed in line in Chadar Ochel. We gave him food to break the fast. We gave him some biscuits and some cans to take with him in bags. And we gave him blankets. And we looked in the eyes of these guys. We really didn't know at that time who is coming back, who is not. It was a very hard time to see it. I remember moments that the rabbis stayed with the guys to say hello, and I saw guys are saying vidui, like a Jewish man is saying when he's in a danger of life. I remember Rav Zalaznik was one of the rabbis in the yeshiva. He's staying outside next to the buses there, and he's saying goodbye to each one, everyone, and making him a shah yivorechecho. Come back safely, Bezrat Hashem. These moments of saying goodbye to the boys, that we knew that some of them will not come back, at least alive, or at least sholem begufoy, sholem benafshoy, that was a terrible time, that we knew that's a terrible war going on, because the radio was full of names and casualties and all kind of calls from the army. It was very hard to hear. There was a danger even to send them to the battlefield, because we didn't know how far the lines were broken inside, where are the enemies. Some guys from these boys, they went to the army, they came over to me, they didn't call the parents, because they said, I can't talk to my father, because my father is a survivor of the Holocaust, I can't talk to him at the moment. Tell them that I spoke to you and everything is okay with me, and the moment I can call, I will call you first, and you will tell my parents everything is okay. One guy didn't call his parents, he didn't come back. His name is Moshe Lekoen. This guy, Moshe Lekoen, was the biggest master in the yeshiva. His father was Holocaust from, he was a survivor from the Holocaust in Auschwitz. And he was named by his father's name. When he died in war, in Chof Ches Tishrei, when I brought his body back from Sinai, because we couldn't find him, he was in a tank burned. When we took him out from the tank, we almost didn't recognize his body. When we brought him back to his father, he said, this is my second sacrifice after I lost my first wife and my children and my parents in the Holocaust. It was terrible to see the Levaya, because actually we didn't bury Odom Sholem. It was burned, it was a half body. But I remember the smile of Moshe Lekoen before he left, and he spoke to me. And he said, my father, if something will happen to me, my father and my mother will be in big troubles, so keep in touch with him. And for the last 37 years, we are in touch till the father died 3 years ago. In a terrible way. It was always said, he never stopped to cry about his son. He said, my son is the Yitzchok of my family. Avraham Avinu sacrificed his son, but his son survived. My son didn't survive. The guys, when they went in Milchemet Yom Kippur there, there was in 5-6 battalions in the tanks there. The fighting was very hard. Some of them fall as prisoners of war. Two guys fall there. One of them, Avichail, fell, got terrible wounded there. He's a hero until today. But he survived there. The other one is a Sholem Begufoi, but he never came back mentally. He got married, he has children, but he's not Adam Sholem. Whenever I speak to him, he said, Ani adain lo hazarti memelchama. I never came back from war. He never came back to the yeshiva. He never visited the yeshiva. But he's coming every year to the yahrzeit of Moshe Cohen. We're always speaking about his life. And he said, my life is actually outside normally, but inside I'm still there as a prisoner of war. My soul is there in Egypt when I suffered so much there as a prisoner of war. To think about Melchemet Yom Kippur in Yeshivat Shalabim, when everybody is staying here and davening, and the beautiful davening here, and the beautiful Chazni, Rav Hendler, everybody is around here, and everybody looks clean and organized, I can't daven like a normal person. I'm always looking in the machzor, and I don't see the words. I see faces, numbers, guns, tanks. I'm going back to my youth as a prisoner of war in Jordan, when we couldn't speak Yiddish and Hebrew because it wasn't allowed. We spoke only Arabic between each other. And I was a child at that time. My mother got killed already. We lost half of our family. And Yom Kippur, when other people are sitting and davening, I'm closing my eyes and I'm always thinking what happened to our life here in Israel. From one side, we are very happy here, we are in Israel. I have a wife and children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. From the other side, some corner in our heart here, as leaders, as soldiers, as commanders in the army, we have so hard memories, such a long memories of people that didn't survive in wars, especially in Yom Kippur War, which was a very terrible war. A lot of my friends died in war there. And the memory goes back always about the smiles of these boys, what he said, the relationship between me, between him, the orders that I gave, they didn't survive because of my orders. The relationship with Yeshiva Bocher, they left here as Yeshiva Bocher, from base medrash straight to war without calling the parent, was afraid to make him sad before, after rites of Yom Kippur. After 5-6 days, when Yom Kippur war break out, I was called by the army to help to take out bodies from tanks. As we know, more than 200 tanks was burned in war, and the bodies was inside, was nobody take them out, because the army was busy to survive by themselves. So a group of high officers like me, they had experience, they were sent there together with rabbis to take out those bodies from the tanks. Some of the bodies I remember because we recognized them by numbers and by faces, and we knew the numbers of the tanks, so we knew who was there. But I was always afraid to look in the faces, maybe it's Yeshiva Bocher that I know him too much, or maybe somebody of my family. I remember the guys from the Rabbanut, high officers, even non-from officers. We went around the tanks there, was in the middle of the fields, in the nights, because it was very dangerous to move around there in the days. And I remember everybody said, you have water, you have cold water. We was looking for cold water to just to wash our faces. It was so hot, not because of the sun, whatever, because the emotion was so strong, we couldn't even speak to each other. And we found ourselves always after collecting a few bodies, that even we, that we are very good soldiers, we went in army so many years, in Mohammed Yom Kippur, we were shaking to death a few hours afterward. Some guys didn't survive normally. We start to drink alcohol just to avoid our pain. This pain that we have from Mohammed Yom Kippur, and from Israel, the country of Israel, to survive, is a matter that we will never forget. From one side, we are very happy that we have children, and we have a yeshiva, and we have talmidim, and everybody is living a normal life. But we, even we are sholem begufoy, Baruch Hashem, I am okay, but in our neshome, we are somehow, we are cripples. Somehow we never recovered from this pain of losing so much friends and so much brothers and so much talmidim, talmidei chachomim, that died in war. From the other side, this is our destiny in Israel. We can't survive without war, we can't survive without defending the country. And from the other side, we came to the army as volunteers. We thought that we have to be a part of building Israel, that we have to be a part of defending the country. But we didn't know how far okay. We are saying in our tefillos in Yom Kippur, Shared Ma'ot Lo Nin Alot, meaning that God is always accepting tears of pain from Klal Yisrael. I remember my father, Olav Shalom, he used to cry terrible as a chazan, the chuvah, in the chazan, the Kotel Ma'ari, for many years. Before 48, I was a child, he used to cry, mi bo'esh, mi ba'mayim, terrible. He cried, he screamed to God, Ba'in Shalom, mi b'cherev mi b'chayo. As a child, before the war, I didn't understand. I know, mi chie or mi yamos. A person when he is getting old, he's dying, and that's it, it's a matter of life. I never understood when he's saying, mi b'esh or mi b'chayo. When we left the old city as prisoners of war, there were so many bodies around of kids and older guys. I was a child at the time. So my father said, this is what we are saying, mi bo'esh o mi b'mayim. You see, the shoes are on fire. You see people unburied. This is the meaning of mi bo'esh o b'mayim, mi b'chayo, and the other things that we are saying there. But I never understood mamish the Indian of mi bo'esh after I saw the dead bodies in Yom Kippur War. The past few wars, I was in 56 in Sinai as officer, I was in 67 as officer, I was the commander of the Shalavim, of the great Shalavim, and all Yishuvim around. I was a medic in the army, I knew what is bodies, I'm a Chevra Kedisha for many years. But so many bodies in one field there, what we saw there in a place what we are calling in Hebrew Emek HaBacha, after the terrible war between the tanks, Syrian tanks and the Israeli tanks, I hope I will never see it again in my life. It was from guys there, and I remember one day one of the rabbis said, guys, let's daven mincha. So we collect a million of room guys, rabbis and me and others, and we said we have to wash our hands because we touched dead bodies. Some of the rabbis said, you touched so many bodies today, you're stinking from the bodies. What is going to help when you're washing your hands? You have to go at least in the mikveh for 40 days after the smell will leave you. And the rabbi said, you know guys, I'm fasting already the third day because I have terrible thoughts about what happened to us. He said something, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, how can I forgive you? To hear somebody, a Ben Torah, screaming like this, was for me something that I couldn't stay. I hit him. I said, what are you talking about? How can you talk like this? You are a Jew. We survived so many wars. People survived the Holocaust. They didn't talk like you. How can you speak like this? But you couldn't have. This rabbi, we start to daven, I scream, slach lonu, forgive me. Forgive me, God, for what I said, but I can't stay, I can't stay what I see here. I'm falling apart from day to day. This guy today is old man. Every Yom Kippur, we are talking about our feelings again. And he's crying, and he's again crying. You remember what I said? I tried to make tshuva what I said, but I couldn't stay. It was terrible for me to do what I am doing there. But I felt that nobody is there to do what we are doing there. So many years, for 37 years, every year, Yom Kippur, in the Askaras Neshamos, I'm saying Yizkor for my father and my mother and my sisters, whatever we had before. I'm making a special Yizkor for those kids that didn't survive in war. And for those kids, it was under my command for many years. They came from the Holocaust. They left nobody to say for him Kaddish even. I had friends in 56. Was very young. Was 8 years after Israel established. I was in the army at that time. People came from the Holocaust there as survivors. They went to the army and they died in war. And I said for many years Kaddish of him. Even today, I have a list of names that I'm saying in my heart. Quietly, b'sheket, I'm saying Kirim L'Rachim of him. And I remember the faces, and I remember the eyes, and I remember telling me the stories about how they survived from the Holocaust. And I'm saying, Rabbono Shel Olam, you didn't leave nothing from them. Why? And sometimes I have questions to myself. On the other side, I'm mechazik myself with them. At least I survived to tell my story, at least to be mechazik other people. When I tell my story to guys or to alumni of the yeshiva, we're speaking like I spoke last night to all the guys from Rehovot in the name Rabbi Tzvi Kisner from Rehovot. He called me last night And he said, 12 o'clock, 12:30, he said, Tzvi Kaspi, I know that you are not sleeping. I said, how do you know? Do you have Ruach HaKodesh? I know these days you can't sleep. I know. I would like to talk a little bit, because when I'm telling my wife, my family, they are screaming on me, stop to talk about us. Enough, 37 years, enough, forget about us. I can't forget, I have to talk to somebody about us. This rabbi, a very important man, is a mashgiach kashrus under Rabbi Simcha Cook and Rabbi Rubin. He said to me, don't do anything, just sit down and listen to me, I have to talk. But you have to forgive me if I will cry. I said to him, Rabbi Tzvi, you remember what we said always, Shari Demois, we will never stop to cry. He spoke for almost 2 hours. He didn't stop. And he reminded me names I forgot. He reminded me what happened around in the battlefield. He's today older guys. He's catching almost 60. And he's Baruch Hashem, he's a father of children, and he's a rabbi, and he's a grandfather, and he's a big Ben Toro. But somehow, in the bottom of his heart, he never stopped to cry of what happened to him and to other guys in the Yom Kippur War. 2 o'clock, I said to him, Tzvi, that's a time that we have to collect ourselves. We have to live for the new generations, what we are growing together with them. We have to remember that we have kids and children. We fought and we was in Milchama just because we wouldn't have a normal country without such a bad memories. And he started to sing with me this song. We had a special song that we used to sing there. The terrible time, Shomer Israel, Shomer Israel. We start to sing, and he said, now it's 2 o'clock, let's make a lachaim for the new year. He took his brandy, I took my schnapps, we made a lachaim, and we said together, Rav Tzvi Kistner, Rav Tzvi Kaspi, in our memories we will never forget our pain, we will always remember our pain. We always tell the pain to others just to remember that the sacrifice that we did for Klal Yisrael is something that we have to remember in a good way, because that was the will of Rabbeinu Shlomo that we fight for Klal Yisrael, on the other side to teach the new generations that we can fight for ourselves, and we will never be again like Chas V'Sholem in Hitler's time, that we will go and will be destroyed like animals. This morning, before I went here to speak together with Rabbi Waxman, that invited me to speak, another guy called. His name is Avir Heilfeld, a very famous prisoner of war. He survived in the Egyptian war. I came back as a cripple. I have blind. He lost one of his hand. Very sick person. But he survived, Baruch Hashem. He got married, his children, his grandchildren, Baruch Hashem. He's a very happy man. And he said, I know that last night Tzvi Kistner spoke to you, because 5 o'clock in the morning he called me up. And he said he became a lot of chizuk from you, because you told them that we have to forget, we have to remember and forget. We have to remember the pain as a prayer for Klal Yisrael, as some sacrifice that we did for Klal Yisrael with our bodies, with our soul. From the other side, we have to be happy, because it's Yom Adin, Bezrat Hashem, we will have happy New Year's for years to come. Avichai told me that he has a Seder. Every Kol Nidrei He's sitting in shul, he's closing in his eyes, and he's saying to himself, I would like to remember the, how do you say, inuim?
Torture.
I want to remember the torture, the days of the torture that Egypt did to me. I would like to say to God, Rabbono Shalom, Rabbono Shalom, forgive for my sins if I did something. I was tortured with all my bodies for months. I came back as a cripple. Please forgive me. I did enough for Klal Yisrael. Bless me with a new year. I gave my life for Klal Yisrael. I suffered so much. I'm a cripple till today. And I would like you to tell your Tzvi Kaspi the days that you took me to the United States. You went with me for months to release a little bit from my pains in the hospitals in New York. I remember as a sacrifice from you and for myself together the prayers that we did and the tears that we forgave for Klal Yisrael will be not for only for us of our families, it will be for Klal Yisrael also. From this point of view, I'm always saying that even though that we are cripples and we are sad what will happen, we became somehow a little bit more clear with ourselves as Jewish people what we have to do in our life, Tzedakah v'Chesed. And Baruch Hashem, I was zoiche, me and my family, that we are dealing all our life with Tzedakah v'Chesed with others. And Baruch Hashem, we have such a good neighbors and shutfim, partners, that we are doing a lot of Chesed together. And my message to people is, even though that we suffered so much, this is the best way to survive as Jewish people. And I'm always saying about those millions they went to the crematoriums in the Holocaust. Maybe this is a different way to defend Jewish people. I bless everybody for a good year.